I met him, I liked what I saw.
Good morning. My name is Ron. I'm an addict.
Hey, Ron.
I got to tell you, straight out, like, the disease wants me to project an image that I'm very confident and comfortable sitting up here, and I'm very, very nervous. And for a little while, I was afraid. And it ties in exactly with what the topic of this meeting is about, you know, the triangle of self-obsession. And my fear was the same fear that I had my whole life, that I wasn't going to fit in. And the way my disease tells me I'm not going to fit in is I'm not going to say the things that people came here to hear, or I'm not going to project this image of awareness and like recovery and things like that. And I talked to some good friends before, you know, the meeting started, and they all pretty much gave me the same advice, and that was the advice that I heard when I first walked into the rooms, and that was use a higher power. So I prayed, and I asked God to just, you know, let me give back something of what I've been given and try to be honest. What I've learned about this triangle of self-obsession is that anyone that walks through the doors that's a member of this fellowship is suffering from it. I haven't been able to break the triangle of self-obsession through the principles of this program, but I've been able to make dents in it in some areas of my life. Some of the fears that we all have in common, probably one of the biggest ones that I shared was that not fitting in or not feeling like we measure up to. And I knew that for a long time before I ever picked up the substance, and I knew that after I walked into the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. My fear was that if your people knew who I was, you wouldn't like me. So I couldn't let down the walls and let you know who I was. I continued to project this image of a certain person, and I wanted to give off this facade of somebody who was always okay with themselves. And if I would rather run away than tell you what's really going on, or I would rather talk about dumb, stupid things that weren't important than what was going on inside of me, for that fear that if you knew what was going on, that you wouldn't love me or you wouldn't accept me, or I just wasn't like everyone else, and I really wanted to fit in. When I first came to the rooms, I didn't believe I was an addict. I liked the way the people in the rooms treated me, and that was enough of an incentive to come back to the rooms. Thank God that I stayed around long enough to the point where I learned, yeah, I was like everybody else. It took a lot of pain, mostly self-inflicted. What I learned was that I didn't have to go through things by myself, you know. Just what the title of the convention is, Never Alone. That's what I was told. I didn't know why that was so important. You know, I was always used to going through things by myself, you know, being high. I wasn't experiencing life on life's terms. What I was doing was running away. I thought everything, you know, I was okay with everything. But the fact of the matter was I wasn't dealing with anything. You know, what I was doing was escaping. In the fellowship, when they told me I never had to be alone, I learned that that was true. Most of the things that I was afraid of that I have gone through, I've gone through with the help of other members of Narcotics Anonymous, but there have been times that I haven't been able to get to the members. And the most important tool this fellowship given me is a loving God in my life. And what my sponsor taught me was that the loving God was constant. That knowing that He was there with me, no matter what was happening, everything was going to be okay. And I couldn't initially put my faith in a loving God. It had to start with the people. The last time I was using, I was afraid I was going to die because I really believed I was an addict, and that I believed what your people told me, that the only places we end up are in jails, institutions, and dead. And I didn't think I was going back to any institutions. I was afraid of dying. And it was probably the first time that I had some kind of conscious fear that I wasn't blocking out from the drugs, because when I wasn't high, I was afraid I was going to die. And the faith that I had was that I had been around the rooms long enough to know that there were some people who really were not using. And what they were talking about was not using by being with each other. And I knew that if I didn't know anything else, the only moment of sanity I had was that there was people somewhere I could go and they could help me stop using. And that's what I did. I believed, and there was a few people who I really believed in. And it's no coincidence that one of those people I had gotten close to since the first day I'd come around had pulled up to me next to me at a red light when the last day I was using. He and another friend of mine took me to a meeting that night. and I heard what I was supposed to hear, you know, and I had heard it all along, only now I was listening, and that was that if I wanted to stop using, I'd have to ask God to help me. And that's what I did. And that was like the beginning of practicing some type of faith. It started in people when they told me that people couldn't take the physical obsession to use away, that I have to go to whatever understanding of God I had to not use. That's what I did. I think I believed because I was afraid of dying. And I wasn't ready for that. I didn't learn how angry I was until after I came into the program. I didn't really think I was ever an angry person. I was reminded of a few things I had done in blackouts after I had gotten clean by some people I used to hang out with in my using days. But when they took the drugs away from me and my mind cleared, I started to be angry at a lot of things around me, people, situations. And the reason for my anger in a lot of those areas was my inability to accept things just the way they were. I wanted things to be my way, which was the way it was when I was using. And when they wouldn't work out the way I wanted them, when people wouldn't do what I wanted them to do, I got angry. And the anger was in the present tense, and I wouldn't let go of it. And as I progressed with it, and I held on to it, it manifested into resentments. And I didn't know what to do with these things. I had come into the program, and I had started to think about all the things that had happened in my past. I had resentments towards members of my family, and I didn't know how to deal with them. I shared what my experiences were in the meetings, and I listened to others share similar experiences and how they got through them. The single most important tool that they taught me for getting through the resentments in my life was to practice acceptance. And that was real hard, and it still is today at times. And it goes back, for me, it goes back to a loving God, because I don't have the ability within myself to practice things like acceptance and love, forgiveness on my own. I do believe that the disease that we have, the spiritual nature of it being self-centeredness, that I can't do anything positive for another human being without a loving God work in my life. And I got some awareness. I listened to these people share in the rooms, and they told me what their experiences were. And I really wanted to let go, because when I was angry, and today still, when I get angry, the very first thing that happens to me when I don't react physically and I stuff it inside is I get physically sick. My head hurts. My heart races. And it's not a comfortable feeling. Sometimes the insanity tells me that it would be better off if I was using, I wouldn't be feeling anything at all. And I know that's not true. What I found best works for this addict, and I have to have a willingness to practice it, in immediate instances of anger, the single best thing that I can do is to pray. I sat in meetings and listened to people share things that I particularly didn't care to hear, and I've gotten very, very angry. And the only thing that stood between that and
or me walking out of the room was, you know, just only from not doing one of those two things. And I don't do that perfect. I do that far from perfect. But I do it a little better than I did when I first tried it. Everything that I've learned in this program, if I haven't been willing to practice it, it hasn't gotten any easier to do. Whether it's not using for one day or turning my will and my life over to the care of a loving God. The second and third steps were real important for me in that area. A loving God working in my life, allowing me to find it, to look at myself, you know, and see that most of the problems aren't out here, they're in here. And I could never do that when I was using, and even after I had stopped using for a long time, I looked around me. There was problems, and I always looked on the outside for the problems. Why was I feeling the way I was feeling? Why was I so mad? What were you doing to me to anger me?
basically what it boiled down, I wasn't doing for me. And that was, I wasn't letting God work in my life. What I've been able, the rewards I've been able to reap from this is that I don't hold on to things as long as I used to. I heard sayings like, people are living rent-free in your head. And I didn't understand it because in the beginning I really wasn't caught up in the personality, so it didn't bother me. Because in the very beginning when I first wanted to stop using, like nothing else was important, what people were saying really wasn't so important. It's after I got a little clean time behind me and like not using wasn't a problem anymore. The problem was I was living in everybody else's life and wanting to know what everybody else was doing. And when they weren't doing what I wanted them to be doing, I got angry, you know, and when I didn't let it go, it turned into a resentment. And these people, and they, my friends would tell me, this person's home sleeping right now, and you're awake, you know, pissed off at them because they don't say or do the things you want them to do. That's me, I'm an addict, you know, I want to control. I can't be in control if God's working in my life. You know, it's one or the other. They taught me about the spiritual principle of love in the rooms, you know, the unconditional love. And I didn't understand it. I didn't know how to get to it. And I had to listen. And again, it was God working through addicts. See, if we all have the same disease of addiction and the core of our disease is self-centeredness, then we really don't care about each other. We don't have that ability within us without a loving God working to care about anybody else other than ourselves. And when an addict sits down and shares their pain with me, so it can help me get through mine without thinking the only way to get out of it is either run by running or run by using. You know, that's loving God at work. It is to me, because I know that I don't have the ability to reach out to anyone in this room, left alone with just this disease. I've seen the examples of it. I've seen it in other people's lives. I've seen it how it works for other addicts. And in turn, by doing what these people before me had done, I have seen it work in my own life. And I'm not real good at it. I'd like to be a lot better, especially in the area of personal relationships. It's hard for me to sit here and say, you know, that I find it easier to reach out to a stranger than I do to someone who I'm really close to and that I really love. It's an area of my life that I need a lot of work in. And addicts have offered me help. And all it will take is a surrender. I'm not afraid of tomorrow anymore. My fears are always, is it going to be there? You know, am I going to be okay? My sponsor's wife had told me a story. And when I was going through a very hard time in my recovery, I was very afraid. I didn't think anyone in the fellowship could help me. And it pertained sort of to the third step and practicing faith. And it was real simple. This journey of recovery that we're all on, it's like we're walking down a valley, or we're walking through a valley, and there's these very high walls. And as we're walking through this valley, there's an avalanche, and the avalanche blocks off our path. And me as an addict, my first instinct is to look up and say, you know, God, why did you do this to me? And what my sponsor's wife had shared with me is, you know, life on life's terms is not always easy. And those boulders falling and blocking my path for me to continue on this road to recovery is not God. It's life on life's terms. But if it's the faith that this program teaches me, that loving God is going to help me get over a ramp all
continue my journey, you know, on this thing we call recovery. And sometimes it's been easier to do that than other times. There was times when I was afraid of things like family members dying. And I had to be taught again, back to the first step, that I'm not in control. I can't save anybody's life. You know, I can't get anybody clean. I can't keep somebody from dying. All I can do is have faith that whatever happens, this loving God is going to get me through it. And sometimes that's been the only thing I've had to hold on to. But it's always been constant. It's the one thing I was taught by my sponsor that I remember more than anything else, and that's when everything else is gone. You know, there's going to be a loving God there for you, and He's going to love you no matter what, and that was important for me to learn. Um,
the way I was taught to get out of my resentments was to look at them, not look at the people, not look at what the resentments were about, but so much as to look at myself. Why did I have these resentments? And most of the time my resentments were, as I said, because things didn't go my way, because I wasn't getting my way. And I, you know, I say my a lot, and that is all, you know, that's all the self-centeredness. Me, my, I. The way I was taught to get through this was with the we of this program. Started in the first step, I didn't have to be powerless alone. Because I knew if I was powerless alone, I was going to die from this disease. And it continued on. It was the addicts in the room who shared their experience with me in the second step to teach me a new way to live. I got with the we again. I didn't have to react the same old ways. I heard addicts talking about how not to live in an addictive manner without a drug. And I didn't know anything about that. What I knew was the same things I knew when I was using. If you're afraid, you run. You know, if you're angry, you react. If you're resentful, you plot. And that's what I did. I've had a few lessons about what happens when I don't practice what I've been taught. Reacting to resentments. The spiritual dues are not very comfortable. And I use those experiences today because I know that when I do wrong, it's coming back on me. I don't know if anybody else in this room believes that, but I know when I do the wrong things, because I'm not using today, I have a conscience. I know when I'm doing wrong. And when I do wrong, I know it's coming back. I'm not willing to pay those dues as often as I was before. The way that I learned to practice love with other people, and the kind of love that I'm talking about may not be the same as a lot of people may understand. What I was taught about loving people in the fellowship was that any time anyone had asked for something or needed something as far as help, if they reached out to be there. I had heard addicts sharing about this unconditional love in the rooms. And I felt bad, and I went to my sponsor because I didn't feel like the rest of these people. I didn't understand what they were talking about. And my misunderstanding told me that I couldn't do what these people were talking about, and I really wanted to be a part of. And I sat down with my sponsor, and we talked about it. And what he had shared with me basically was that if there was anyone in any of those rooms, regardless of what your personal feelings were for them, if they reached out to you in a time of need, whether it be on the phone or in a meeting or even on the street, would you turn them away? And I didn't have to think twice about what my answer was. I wouldn't. Because I want to live. And the reason I'm alive today is because people didn't turn their back on me. And that was my beginning of an understanding of what unconditional love was for other addicts. And that's one of the other ways I was taught to get over my anger. It's not easy. And not for me. I can honestly say in the couple 24 hours that I've been coming to this fellowship, probably one of the easier things to do was stop using. It's been a lot harder to change the way that I think and the way that I act. And the only tools I have are what I learn in the rooms. That's the steps and utilizing the higher power. I'm not the same addict I was when I walked in the rooms. In a lot of areas of my life, I've been able to change. And in some areas of my life, I'm still almost the same person I was the day I walked in. There are times when I still want to do that three-year-old temper tantrum. I'm not getting my way. And of course, I always think, you know, my way is best. And I'm reminded that it was my ways that brought me to this fellowship. My thoughts and my actions, the way I was living and the way I was thinking is how I got here. But for the grace of God. And I need to stop and think about those things when I'm going through them. And it's very hard at times to be in a situation and step out of it at the same time and step back and say, this is where I'm at. And this is like I'm using, only there's no drug there. And most of the time when I'm in that situation, the answer for me is that I'm not letting God work in my life. When I'm being judgmental of others, when I'm putting myself before others. It all goes back to not being able to practice any of the spiritual principles of this program without a loving God working in my life. Anytime I've ever reached out to an addict, it was because God was there. Or anytime I reached out to anyone, addict or non-addict, it's because God was working through me. I just don't have it within myself. I've got enough experience of living in the negativity of addiction, both with and without a substance, to know that when I'm caught up in my own self-will of doing what I want to do, God, I'm not allowing God to work in my life, and I can cause nothing but pain and destruction and havoc, not only in my life, but in other people's lives. And the funny thing is, when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I like the way it feels. Because not only do I feel good, but the people around me feel good. And yeah, I would like to break this triangle, but the best I have been able to do is make some dents. A little bit here, a little bit there. I don't hold on to resentments for weeks and months at a time, because I don't like the pain. I'm more willing to practice what I've been taught to do to get out of them. Things like pray for people. And I'll tell you, the first time someone said to me in a meeting to pray for somebody that I didn't like, or that I was angry or resentful towards, and it was really easy. I looked at him and I laughed. I said, what am I going to pray for him? To get run over by a bus? You know, because that's how I felt. And they told me, as long as you hold on to this, is as long as you're going to feel bad about it. And when I got uncomfortable enough, like everything else in this program, that I haven't been willing to try the easy way, when the pain got great enough, I was motivated to try it the way it was suggested. The fears today are pretty minimal. It's when I'm being intimate with a person one-on-one is the only time today that there's really a great deal of fear. I can sit more openly with a large group of people, but intimately one-to-one with another person is a little difficult for me. And I guess what a friend told me this afternoon, you know, was the thing that I need to practice the most, and that's just letting God be there with me. Not saying to him 5 minutes before I talk to somebody, God, help me get through this. But actually have that faith that he's sitting there with me. And no matter what it is that I feel is so bad that it is inside of me that I want to say, or that I'm going to hurt myself or hurt another person, I got to know that God's going to get me through it. Because if I don't, I'm not going to be fearless enough to talk to another person. I'm going to be ashamed, or I'm going to be afraid that I'm going to be judged or not accepted or not liked. And I don't get that in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, the people from the day one have always accepted me. I've never been turned away. And it's through their examples of them showing that to me that I could share it with other people. It's like somebody did it for me. And they told me the reason they did it was because it helped them stay clean. You know, and if that was the only motivation I had in the beginning, then so be it. It works. What I can tell you is that, from my heart, is that there's not a whole lot of things that I'm really good at in this program. I've not used for a little while. But I know that this triangle of self-obsession, the only time I've ever been able to get out of it. See, I can go to like all the meetings and I can do all the commitments and the presentations and all those other things. But the only time I can really get out of myself is if I'm making room for God to be there first. You know, I was told things like, help someone less fortunate, help a suffering addict if you want to get out of yourself. And that works temporarily. But they taught me the way to change the way that I was thinking was to change the way I was living. And I can't do that by myself. I'm as powerless over my thinking and my behavior as I am over the rest of my disease. I need what you people have. I need your experience. I need the spiritual principles of this program. And first and foremost, I need a loving God in my life. I feel like I'm just kind of like rambling on, and I know it's real late. So I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and I guess I'll turn the meeting over to you. Thank you.